ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. It's another beautiful Sunday service. This is Lighthouse Lagos, Nigeria. We welcome you to our God Experience service. The family unit has a place in the mind of God. And in the last few weeks, we've all had calls to be at home with our families. We've all had calls to have a moment about differences in parenting style. We've argued about money. And today, we just like to talk about managing your family in a crisis time as we have. And by the way, let me just welcome everyone today. We have right here in this service this morning, I have two family counselors with me. I have Brother Donald Adekunle. I won't tell you about his other pedigree, but he's right here representing and filling in today just for the family. He is a wonderful man, a wonderful family man, and we will glean from and drink from his wisdom today. And right here by my right, I have Mrs. J.M.K. Kuti of God, who is also a family life counselor. And today we will just sit in, just gather your families together, send this link to someone, and just let them be blessed today. Today is Sunday, and I know that maybe some of us, we've had calls to eat breakfast this morning. Some people are still wondering what they will have for breakfast. And sometimes as little as that has caused conflict in family. So I want us to start today by just looking at what is the family unit? How does God see the family unit? Who wants to bear the cloud? Can I go to Brother Donald? Please go ahead and tell us what you think the family unit is in the mind of God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. Talking about the family unit, it is very, very important and in the center of God's heart. Because when we look at the society today and all the vices, criminalities, and all that you see, it all starts and ends with the family. Because the family is the smallest unit of this society. Therefore, if we get things right in the family, then we have the right society. If we also get it wrong, then we have what we have today. And I would like to say the lockdown has been tough, but also has its own blessing that comes with it. The blessing of having to stay with your family, having nowhere to go, and even when you have, you cannot go. And having to stay to resolve issues, not leaving the house and wishing it away, hoping that by the time you come back, everything will be settled.
Wow.
It's been interesting. And I'm sure you will hear more by the time we start going into the nitty-gritty.
I think I love that part, that say having to resolve issues. Without that escape route of, I will resolve it when I come back in the evening. What do you have to say to us, JMK?
Okay, so just picking up from there, welcome everybody and good morning. It is very funny that, you know, one of the things we advise when it comes to conflict is to walk away. Mm-hmm. But during a lockdown, where do you walk to? Where do you walk to? So I think the lockdown was an opportunity to revamp whatever it is husbands and wives had before they even got together. You know that time when you couldn't get enough of each other, and suddenly now he has to go to work, you have to go to work, there are children in between. Even with the children in the house now, you cannot escape one another. You just can't, you know. You just both have to deal with whatever issues. I was joking with Pastor about, you know, so some troublesome marriages, you know, and you just maybe before the lockdown, you heard about, I'm leaving. He's leaving, she's leaving. And then the lockdown happens and nobody can leave. Your parents won't even take you because they don't know if you have coronavirus. Hotels won't take you. So the lockdown made you kind of view what you have and ask yourself, is this worth saving? And force you to work on whatever it is the issues were before the lockdown. I want to trust God that with him, you know, breathing into every situation, you were able to arrive at some kind of compromise that we can move on from as soon as the lockdown fully resolves itself. Praise the Lord.
I know that the family unit is like a good template in the heart of God. I mean, you said it earlier on that even though it's a smaller unit of the society, yet it has a great impact on the way we live our lives when it comes to the man, the woman, and then the offspring, and how we are able to replicate that into the larger society. And sometimes conflict do happen in family, and the very things that brought us together, if care is not taken over time, are the very thing that separates us. So let's talk about conflict resolution. In a time like this, you don't have anywhere to go. And you said it earlier on, the fact that even though the kids are there, it's still not an escape route. We just have to use this opportunity to revamp that which was lost in our love relationship in marriage. Can we talk about conflict resolution right now?
Yes. If we look at it biblically, the Bible acknowledges the fact that there will always be conflict. And we cannot shy away from it. We cannot run away from it. And this conflict is as a result of several factors. From the perspective of either the husband, the wife, or the children. Sometimes it could be as a result of misinformation, as a result of communication issues, which is key, because if you are not able to communicate well within the family, it will play out in the conflicts and how far reaching those conflicts can be. And God, knowing fully well of this, in his perfect design, has given to everyone what their role in the family and in the marriage setting should be. The man has got his role. The woman has got his. The children have got theirs too. Now, if we want to, let's just check from scriptures and see what Paul has got to admonish. In Colossians 3, I'll just take my reading from 18 to 21. And we'll see what Paul is saying there. Colossians 3, from 18. He said, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, he now went ahead to say, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You know, and so on and so on. If you look at it, the role for the man is spelled out. You must love your wife. Women, we move towards anything loving. And you cannot overdo it. Whatever she loves, whatever will keep the family to create that love atmosphere. Then for the man, it's not all about love, but respect. You must honor your husband. You must respect your husband. Then for the children, yours is that of obedience. Obey your parents. And the Bible says, in all things. It's unfortunate in the society we have today, it's becoming increasingly difficult to get children to obey their parents. You say, sit down there, they'll ask you, Daddy, why? Why do you want me to sit? You know, sometimes I read some Bible passages to my children and I say, look, it would be irresponsible of me if I don't discipline you. The Bible has given me this right to discipline you. And I'll say, okay, pick your Bible. Turn to Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Read it out to me. Then I'll flog them.
For some people, we say that's child abuse.
So they pronounce their own judgments.
They pronounce it themselves as written in God's law. And I'll say, look, I'll be failing God if I don't do what I'm about doing now.
Yeah.
You know, since you have failed me in not obeying simple instruction. Yeah. You know, because if we don't do that, and you give them that sense of whatever you do, whatever you think is right, even the Bible recognizes that foolishness lies inside of the child. You say, but with good spanking when it's necessary, good talk, good counsel, we chase those things out. Nobody knows everything all at once or knowing what to do. You are taught one way or the other. So if we as parents fail to teach these children, they are taking it to the society, they are taking it to their own homes in future, and then we start complaining. It won't work that way. God's rules are well spelled out, and it's only when we have issues and we don't take it to that God, that the society becomes what it is today. You know.
Okay. Can you give us a balance, a little bit of balance from a woman's perspective? What, from God's word?
From God's word.
From
okay,
God's
because
word, yeah.
If we're talking the...
You know, by the way, someone once said something that if a man were to write the Bible, you will never find a verse that says, husband, love your wife. And if a wife was supposed to write the Bible, you will never find a verse that says, wife, submit yourself to your own husband. And if our kids were supposed to write the Bible, you never find children obey your parents in the law, for it is filth. And it is well. So just give us a little bit of balance that we can look at this subject of conflict resolution in another perspective.
Okay, so so in my head now I'm seeing three different platforms that I want to address conflict resolution from, and each one based on the word of God. So the first one, the baseline for me, is that God says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So for conflict resolution, what we're saying is there's disagreement.
Yeah.
And that is why we're having these issues. A man of God once said that if you have two good Christians, they will have a good marriage. Now, because we tend to filter and want to determine what a good Christian is using our secular mind, people may not agree with that statement. But if you filter and use God's mind to determine who a Christian is, then truly two Christians actually, they are no bad Christians. They are not supposed to be bad Christians. They are just Christians. So two Christians will have a good marriage. Why and how? What you said, God's rules are well spelled out.
Mm.
What are we having conflict on? Finance. What does God say about finance? If the two of us can come into agreement that, yes, this is what God says about finance, we can work together. What are we having conflict about? Sex. What does God say about sex? Can we both agree on what God says about sex? Then we can work together. What does God say about parenting? Can we both agree? Because this issue, this small issue of flogging or no flogging, is an issue for conflict in some families. Now.
Mm.
With daddy saying, don't touch them, mommy saying, no, I have to beat them, or mommy being the one to say, don't touch them, and daddy saying, you know.
Or daddy is the one who gave 40 oloye.
You know, but I think generally these days, it's as if mommies are the ones that are left with that role, because as I've heard, daddies mean fun, mommies mean business. You know, so it's like it's mommies that are now hard. Daddies are more lenient. And so even that tiny issue, you find parents in great conflict. But I think the issue is, what does God say? Bible says that the reason why he is joining man and woman together is for the godly seed. That's in Malachi. He says it's for the godly seed. So God is always looking, when he's bringing a man and a woman together, he's looking at the future generation. And one of the mistakes I think we make as human beings is to imagine this marriage thing is for us. Everything God does, permit me, is for God. We, honestly, we just think this Christianity, God exists for us. No, we exist for him. So if he puts an institution down, if he puts an organization down, it's to further his kingdom. Recognize your part in that and to move this kingdom forward. And by agreeing with what he says is how to move the kingdom forward. You know, but we have too many filters. We have too many secular ideas. We have too many things that we have, you know, some talk show host has said this, we grab it, we want to add it to the word of God. Some popular marriage guru who knows nothing about Jesus has said this, we want to add it to the word of God. It cannot work that way. It cannot work that way. We need to come back to the basics. What does God say about whatever we're having conflict about? Number two, we need to begin to, as men and women, and I dare say especially men now, please, sirs, it is time to become more Christian than Nigerian or African. Yes, one of the problems we have as African men, we're more African than Christian. We want to be traditional about things. We cannot be that way. What the Bible is not a Jewish book. It was written first to the Jews, but it, on the larger scale, it's to all of humanity. So God does not filter the Bible based on whether, you know, okay, but you know, because he's a Nigerian, it's okay. This will not work. You know, this guy is English or American, so flogging cannot, he won't change. It's to humanity, you know. So especially on the basis of culture, our men need to begin to change. We as women cannot force that change. But men need to begin to look at the Bible and say, what does love mean? Bible gives you what love means. He says Jesus Christ laid down his life.
Wow.
So men should lay down their own lives for their
you
women.
You know, the funny thing is that to a large degree, whether you guys like it or not, you're already doing it. You guys
maybe that should be a kind of comfort.
Yes, you're doing it to
because I wanted to throw that back at you. That how does one lay down his life for you?
Sir, men go out to do the hunting to, in the traditional sense, they go out to get money, get this, get that.
And bring it home.
They spend time,
their
lives.
Spend their resources.
To go bring things into the house. They are laying down their lives.
Yeah.
Now, see it in a spiritual manner. I am actually laying down my life. Can I go further, deeper into this thing?
Yeah.
You will find that it is not as difficult as we. You're already doing a bit of it.
Yeah.
You understand? So kudos to you for that.
Yeah.
So we're just asking you to do a bit more. We're asking you to do a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
In the traditional setting, of course, there are a lot of women who also have to take up responsibility for the home.
Yeah,
you understand?
And in addition to what you said, if we can also take away selfishness, you know, to a very large extent, everyone is selfish except we allow the Spirit of God to take
take
control of that selfish aspect of man. If you look at the marriage of, say, Isaac and Rebecca, can we truly say it was a successful marriage all through? For example, Rebecca loved Jacob. Because the Bible says he was a man around the house. Maybe he helps with the chores. And she enjoys it. Jacob, could you get me that? Jacob, go fetch that. And he was doing it. And she was happy with it. But Isaac loved Esau for the venison he enjoys, the free meat.
Esau was a man's man.
Yeah.
Esau
so he goes into the field and he brings it. So if you look at both of them, they love the children quite okay, but they love them for different selfish reasons. Now, if you read the account, let's just see something in Genesis 27. There's something that caught my attention when I read it, and I want us to look at it. Genesis 27. Now, verse This was when Isaac told Esau to go hunt for game, prepare it. He said, so that I'll eat and my soul will bless you. Mm-hmm. Now, look at what the Bible says in verse 5. He said, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Check that. Check that pronoun. His son, not their son. So, Esau was son to Isaac in this sense. Now, listen further. He said, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So, Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son.
They divided the twins. The
twins here have been divided. One for the father, the other for the mother. And of course, we know the coup. We know the coup that followed.
Honestly.
Isaac, at this time, was almost half blind, could not see properly. So they played on that. And of course, we know the end point. The birthright was, the blessing was stolen. First was the birthright, then the blessing was stolen. And now it got to a point that Esau was contemplating murdering his brother. That is when you have a dysfunctional home, it knows no end. It knows no end. The level of hatred, the level of animosity can cause you to do what you never thought it was possible for you to do. He said, don't worry. Our father will soon pass on. We will soon bury him. And once he goes in peace, then we will be in pieces. You know, and that is why I feel that this period is a very great period for me, because it's helping me to not to run away or shelve my responsibility or talking to other bed, thinking someday, you know, sometimes they'll say time will heal. You know, everything time heal. There are certain ones you need to bring out and treat it and get it healed. You know, sometimes my little daughter will come to me and say, Daddy, am I not your favorite child? I say, no, you are not my favorite child.
Wow.
All of you are favorite. I love you for different reasons. I love Anita because she's my first. I love Michael because he's my only son. I love you because you came last. So I love you for it. So there's no favorite among you.
Wow.
Because if you are not careful and you sow that seed of, oh, this is daddy's favorite, oh, so I can go to hell, but this is daddy's favorite, you have started it. And like a snowball, you're going to snowball into something bigger in future.
Exactly.
So we need to be careful.
So let me just do a quick recap. For the benefit of everyone today, number one, the family is the smaller unit in the society, and it is important to God. This lockdown is a good time to revamp our marriages or our relationship. Pay close attention to all the missing links. I love that. That conflict is part of life. Whether you want it to happen or not, it will surely happen.
Yes.
So conflict is neutral. Conflict is universal. Conflict is not personal. So don't take conflict. And for conflict to actually happen is because there is a form of disagreement. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is that God's rules are well spread out. So we must pay close attention to God's rule. I love that. And pay close attention, fifthly, to area of conflict. What are the things that we usually have conflict or disagreement about? Sex, money, parenting, finances. And everybody say amen this morning.
Amen.
I mean, if you look at areas, whether somebody is married or not married, or someone has divorced, or someone is open to divorce, their major source of disagreement is in this basic area: sex, money, parenting, finances. And so, 6 point today, marriage is for God. Never forget that. A lot of the time, we think that marital relationship is just for our own benefit. It is for God, and it is for His kingdom. And every one of us, we must understand our various roles and play to the rules so that at the end of the day, it will be for God's glory. 7th point today, the Bible is not Jewish. So it is not cultural bias. I love that. So the Bible is also not African. So it is not colored with our culture. And I think the Bible, we have just only one culture about the Bible. It's a kingdom culture.
It's a kingdom culture.
So if you're looking at the kingdom culture, a whole lot goes into that. But I can give you two words, love and sacrifice.
Yeah.
Love and sacrifice. That's the kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave. So if Donald loved Ethel, Donald will give. Mm-hmm. If Jumoke loved Biodun Kuti, she will give to her. So the Bible is not Jewish. So it's not culturally biased. And I love what you said. What does God's word say about love? What is the definition of love? I know many people are confused about that word love. We even have musicians. What's love got to do with? So it's someone who is on the verge of divorcing her husband at that time. So we need to understand. And I think 1 Corinthians 13 from verses 4 to 8 gives us the litmus definition for God's kind of love. Number 8, we must all deal with selfishness in marriage in the name of our personal needs being met. And I love what you said. We should watch out for sibling rivalry. And the snowballs of family dysfunctionality. We can't afford to repeat the same way. There are families today that people who are siblings, they are not on talking terms, just because of the seeds of the word that were sown yesterday among siblings that has now grown into, a tree filled with thorns and all kinds of things. And I think that's just all about that. Nine things or eight things that you have mentioned today. Because I know that time is of essence, can we go into specific things you want people to do at this long time period?
Well, for me,
it can be in any aspect.
Yeah,
those
for
things that
for,
you highlighted.
I'm even
as conflict.
I'm particular about the children here.
Wow.
And I have seven items that I listed here.
Wow.
That I think we help.
Let's go. Let's shoot.
The number one thing is that children should be taught to be confident in themselves.
Wow.
I'm deliberately doing that now in this lockdown. I give them a topic, and I'll say, stand there and speak on this topic as if you are speaking to the church or as if you are speaking to the health. You know. And number two is, I teach them to value others. We teach our children to value others. It's not all about you. You know, then I also put here that we teach them to be leaders, not just followers. Not just followers. And I tell them, look, you lead, but make sure you are leading rightly. And know on what you are leading. It's not everything your friends say to you in the class that is right. My daughter called me one day. I was speaking like somebody died. So somebody said, I'm fat. And I said, what did you say? Well, you are not fat, I'm just big. And we all are not created the same way anyway. And why should you allow what somebody has said to you to affect you? So we need to give them that self-confidence that yes, whatever. Now, we need to also set boundaries very early in life. This is what you can do. This is what is not acceptable. So that they know. Then I put here, we must learn to discipline them. It could be both punitive and non-punitive. For the younger ones, just telling them to go to a corner is a non-punishment because you are debarring them from their
fellowship.
Freedom of fellowship, and that means a lot to them. Sometimes you need to flog them scientifically.
I need to understand the definition of scientific flogging. So maybe
I'll explain it.
I should just
scientific
test
flogging.
My parents where they are. That there is a new thing.
Scientific flogging is what you see in WWE.
Wow.
Where you can fight for half an hour and no injuries, no blood.
Okay. That's a good one.
That is scientific. I dare them. I said, this fight, if you fight it in Oshodi in Nigeria, in 5 minutes you see you pick teeth all over the place. How can you guys do it for 1 hour, 30 minutes and nothing is happening? It's scientific.
Yeah, okay.
You know. Then we need to also open line of communication to them. Some children want to talk to their parents, but you are never there. They have questions to ask. You are never there. Okay, I will answer it when I come. But this lockdown, since you are going nowhere, you have nowhere to go. So you see that's okay. What are your questions? So it has its positive part. You know, then we build a safe village for them. And make sure that as they imbibe this to the larger society to be a better one, you are producing a good woman that will be a good wife. I told my son, you know, when he was about four, I swear each time he had issues with the sister, he would go there kicking. I called him, I said, sit down. No man, reasonable man, raises a finger to touch a woman. Don't you ever do it again. And I can testify to that. He's 13 now. That means we're talking about 9, 8 years back. I've never heard or caught him doing that. So you don't raise your hand over a woman. So he's going to grow with that mindset, entering the society that you don't touch a woman. So those are the things I have, for the children. Especially if Jumoke wants to add to what will help the spouse, especially the women.
Yeah, so for the children, I hear you clearly talking about setting values early on, giving them the right values early on. With regards to conflict, I've noticed something, though, about... So what you will find is that... this thing is about this whole marriage conflict thing. God doesn't start conflict. He's not the author of confusion. Mm-hmm. So that must be coming from the enemy's camp. So one of the first things the devil will do to you is to isolate the two of you from one another. So you will not even have room to communicate. Yeah. Once the communication is gone, so you see marriages, they've divorced. They fight bitterly. They abuse each other. They have called each other names. And they actually go through the divorce. But when you sit them down, you find out they still love each other. And you're asking yourself, how did you allow yourself? They isolated. The communication lines broke down. Yeah. So I'm going to use this just to permit me to sell my products.
Okay.
So, in Lighthouse, we have the premarital counseling classes. It runs like over 12 weeks. And one of the bedrock for me is communication. Yeah. Because if communication is right, you will talk about sex, you will talk about money, you will talk about everything.
Yeah, okay.
But once, true parents, you will talk. But once communication is out, it becomes very difficult.
Yeah.
That is when you begin to talk and look for outsiders to come and talk for you, to come and intervene for you. So
family meetings.
Don't ever allow the devil to steal your communication.
Yeah.
Don't allow him to isolate you from one another. Don't allow him. And these things come in very subtle ways. It's I have to work. I have to clean. In fact, as simple as I have to clean the house. I have to cook. Sometimes lay down the utensils and just sit and listen and talk. And nothing is too minor. You know, sometimes it's a case of... So sometimes the spouse is saying something and you're wondering, what has that got to do with anything? They're just trying to open a line of communication. Note that. Understand when your spouse is just trying to open a line of communication. He's just trying to get to you, to reach across to you. You understand? So it may not be about the weight of what they are saying, about the information they are passing. It's just to talk. So communication is key. Don't let it ever go. Do not ever get isolated. Once those two things are in place, I think to a large extent, and please, with regard to the children, conflict, a house of conflict does not give for safety. It does not offer for protection. It is not a home any child wants to go back to. Children would rather stay in the boarding house than come home to their parents because it's always fight. Please, create that environment of peace and calm deliberately. It is very important. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You haven't finished selling your product.
My product. I only talked about, yes. So my product is over 12 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a premarital counseling product. It's called the Lighthouse. Well, the whole team is called the Lighthouse Family Matters team. So what we do is take couples through premarital counseling before marriage, obviously. Before marriage, just to prepare them for what is ahead. We cannot cover all the bases, but give you an idea of what you could be going into. Pastor mentioned something, that the very things that sometimes bring you together are the things that drive you apart. So it's that, you know, you like this girl because she's very strong, she's very confident. You don't know that underlying that also is stubbornness. So when you get married, that confidence begins to rub you off the wrong way and it becomes a problem. So during our premarital counseling, we help you highlight these things. We help you see these things and we help you prepare to manage them, you know. So I think I've sold my product. That's just one. There are several different. If you go to our website, I think you'll find a lot of the other things we do as a Family Matters team.
Yeah, I think you can actually send us a mail. familylife@lighthouseng.org, and we will be ready to respond to you. Just before we pray, because I want us to pray for people today, I'd like to touch on the last two or three things that you mentioned, that in this lockdown, the art of parenting, it's very critical. Yeah. That this is a time to build self-confidence in our family members, our kids, our spouses. This is a time to teach, where in specific terms you mentioned the kids, teach them about how to value other people. We live in a world that is all about self now. Mm. Everything that is being promoted, that is being sold, it's about self. So people have developed so much what we call entitlement mentality. Yeah. But we need to teach our children how to value others, because that will invariably separate them from the pack. We need to teach them about leadership. We need to teach them how to set boundaries around their lives. A whole lot is happening in our society that you have that responsibility to teach your own kids how to set boundaries. And then you need to let them know the heart of discipline. And then you need to open up the line of communication. I mean, your kids want to talk. We've been busy. And you know the way you are just talking now. If your kids, anyone has a question, this is a time to take them for a walk. And while you are walking on the way, which the Bible prescribe anyway, you are able to answer their question. And you are able to see life from their perspective. And then whichever way it go, we need to create a safe haven for our family. And I love the 10th thing that you raised. Recognize that conflict is of the devil. A whole lot of the times, we focus on ourselves, our needs, not knowing that, hey, the main work of the devil is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the devil wants to touch that base of our marriage, which is communication. Once the communication can be corrupted, every other thing is lost. We are isolated, and we begin to see things from our own eyes only, which will lead to division in our marriages. And then lastly, we said, children need safe haven. Conflict destroys. Otherwise, you might just have kids. If you are not sure how this thing, and maybe one of the things we like to suggest, no matter how upset you are, when you have kids around, don't show it. Try and find a way to resolve your conflict between yourself and your spouse. And lastly today, maybe number 12, to just tie this thing together, this is a time to develop your family vision. This is a time to communicate your values. This is a time, if you don't have any, I say to people, it's not a crime not to have. But now, this is the time of this communication to develop one. And I think if we can develop one, since the family unit is uppermost in the heart of God, we can have a better society. I've said this for years, that the presence of area boys is a proof that there are area fathers and area mothers. So we can do better with our society when we can work on the family unit. Can we pray and agree today with God's people? Can we just stretch our hands? And as we pray, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we say thank you today. Thank you for every family. Thank you for what you have done today, opening our eyes to these 12 things. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is true from the beginning. We ask for healing today in our families, not just because of this lockdown, Lord, beyond this lockdown. Thank you because there is healing, there is restoration in our families. And thank you, Lord, because your grace abounds towards each person in their family to develop a family vision even at this time. For those who are not married, thank you, because you will also help them to create that vision such that they can be connected. When they are connected to the person they want to get married, they can synergize their effort. Thank you for healing in families. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord, we speak particularly to this family that is experiencing turbulence at this time. We speak peace in the name of the Lord Jesus. This family that is considering divorce, maybe in the secret of their heart, Lord, you seize the secret of the heart of man. You will come through for this man. You will come through for this woman. And thank you for healing and restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I don't know if any of you have something specific that you just want to mention before we close today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Family units that you have put upon the face of the earth to populate your beloved earth, oh God. You designed them specially.
Yeah.
Father God, now we speak to every family.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That passes all understanding.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Of every member.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak, oh God, concerning the finances.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I ask, oh God, that you arise.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You arise as the
Lord. Yes, Lord.
That family that is about to go into, oh, Father, I thank you, because this family is about, they are at their desperate edge right now. Lord God Almighty, reach out your hand.
Yes, Lord.
By the benevolence of your people.
Yes, Lord.
And meet them at the point.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Meet them, I ask.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being part of our service today. You want to send us an email. You want to ask us further questions about family vision, family issue. Please send your mail to familymatters@lighthouseng.org. It's been displayed on your screen. God bless you. Have a very wonderful week. It is shalom from all of us here. God bless you. We love and appreciate you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,